Gary at the funeral home, they put his left leg in the casket, and then they took... Okay. You're with me now. It has nothing to do with the sermon, but you're with me. This morning, people all over have thought about my best friend, Jesus Christ, all over the world. And I'm glad that they have. But dear friends, we need to think about Him every day of our lives, and every Sunday we assemble together to remember His resurrection, because He arose on that first day of the week. This morning, as I want us to mainly spend a bulk of our time in the 25th chapter of Matthew, we're going to look at the thought of His return. Because Jesus Christ came out of the grave, defeated death, He ascended up into heaven, and now we're waiting on Him to come back. And so that's where I want us to spend the time that is allotted before us today, is in Matthew 25. So we call this the parable, if you will, of the 10 virgins. Parable in English is literally parabole in Greek, and it literally means a laying beside. It has the idea of you're telling a story here, you're planting a row of crops here, and then right beside it you're doing something else at the same time. We often define it as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, right? Jesus is going to tell the story about 10 virgins. He's going to tell the story about getting ready to go into a wedding, and that's an earthly thing. We are familiar with it. We know people. We can count to the number 10. We've probably been to a wedding. Yet at the same time, the important part is the spiritual aspect, and that's where I want us to spend our time today, really in four parts. And if you're a note taker, luckily for you, they all begin with the letter P. There's a preparation, a participation, a preclusion, and then a pronouncement. For those visiting, they don't always start with the same letter. You just hit a good day, okay? They all four begin with this letter. Let's divide up our sermon and study together. Read with me, if you will, the first 10.5 verses. That's what A means. We're going to go to that first semicolon, verse 10. Notice this here in a preparation, Matthew 25:1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish, they took their lamps, and they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. When the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so. Lest there be not enough for us and for you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. We'll pause there. We'll come back to this. We see the story of the 10 virgins, and we see a preparation. In fact, there's a lot of preparation on the part of some and a little preparation on the part of others. We see that wisdom is adequate. Notice this. 5 of them took oil. This required foresight. Not only did they have what little would have been, they would have had extra oil, which meant they went ahead and they thought, I need to make sure that I have enough. I liken this to if you're going to take a road trip and you don't know where in the world you're going to stop, you bring a cooler with you with a couple bottle of waters and some crackers, right? Because you don't know when you're going to stop, but you might get thirsty along the way, so you need to be prepared before you get there. Well, we see 5 of these virgins, they're ready to go into a wedding ceremony, and typically in the first century, they would have happened late at night, which makes sense here in our story, and since they didn't know when it would start, they made sure they had enough. Yet we see the foolish, they're not adequate. They only took their lamps. They may have had a little residual oil left over from the last time they had burned their lamps, but they weren't overflowing like the 5 wise were. See, these latter 5, I would call them only here for the here and now. In the moment, not thinking about the next hour, the next afternoon, the next day, but just right here, right now. That's why we call them foolish. They were unprepared, so to speak. Let me ask you a question, dear friends. Do you desire your children to be leaders? Then teach them to deny themselves. Do you desire them to be successful? Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, I've often wondered, at reading through Matthew 25 numerous times for different studies and for personal reading, why did the foolish not take extra oil? It's evident that you were able to buy oil. It was evident that you could procure it, that you could store it in a means to use later. It's not like they didn't have the ability to do so, but they did, because I know some did and some didn't. But why didn't the foolish? Well, maybe they didn't want that extra weight. You know, it would be heavier, right? You have to carry that around, maybe carry an extra container's worth. Maybe they're trying to save money. Who knows? I don't know. But I've often wondered, well, why weren't you prepared? It's not that you didn't know what to do. It's not that you couldn't have done it. You just simply didn't do it. We see these, they were just unprepared. Now the wise, they denied themselves because they bore the extra burden. They paid the extra price. It would have been more difficult for them to bring that extra oil, but they did to be ready. And we know that they were ready. So we go on. What do we learn? At midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, coming out to meet him. All the virgins arose. They trimmed their lamps. Then the foolish said unto the wise, give us some of your oil. We don't have any. But the wise, they couldn't share with the foolish. Why? Because no one has enough righteousness to share with others. You know, I can't be righteous enough for me and for Gary. Gary has to do his own part, and I have to do my own part. Now, if I could, trust me, I'd be enough righteous for everybody. At least I'd do my part. If I could be faithful for everybody, if I could be obedient, then I would be, but I can't. So I encourage others to be faithful instead. No one has enough righteousness. The wise did. The only thing they said, well, you go buy and sell. Go into the town. They're probably right outside of town. Go in and buy. But the problem is, there's no time to buy. There's no time at all. Why are we talking about this story today? We're not really talking about getting ready to go to a wedding. Although if you've got one coming up, make sure you're prepared, right? We're talking about the idea of making sure your life is right now for when the bridegroom cometh. By the way, that's Christ. When the bridegroom cometh back, you can't go make your life right then. You can't say, well, when Christ comes back, I'll get ready. You ever thought about, really deeply thought about the parable of the 10 virgins? How is the Lord's church depicted in the New Testament? It is the bride of Christ. That's what we're talking about. We are the bride of Christ. We don't have time to make our lives right. When we hear the trumpet, it'll be too late. There's no repentance after death. Now, there's going to be a mighty host of people that wish there was. A mighty number of people saying, oh, if I had only known when you were coming, I would have made my life right. Well, we don't know when he's coming. Because notice the story here. While they went out, verse 10, to buy, that's when the bridegroom came. They waited too late. They heard he was coming. They said, we'll run to the closest market. Today we'd run to Dollar General because there's one on every other corner, right? I can't. While they were out, that's when the bridegroom came. There was preparation on the part of 5 of our 10. But we move on to our second P. Notice this participation. Just stay in the same verse. Pick up with the semicolon. And they that were ready, underscore that word ready. They that were ready, they went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Well, it's plain and simple, right? The prepared go to heaven. The unprepared do not go to heaven. You know, we often say that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people, and that's true. Yet, friends, at the same time, hell is a prepared place for the unprepared people. Notice it said, they that were ready, they went with him into the marriage, oh, by the way, and then the door was shut. I think about another shutting door in the Bible, than the story of Noah's Ark, right? When God shuts that door, oh, you know there were people crying out from the rocks as the waters descending and meeting up in the middle. You know they would have been crying out, but the door was shut. It was too late. Here we see the door is shut on those that were foolish, those that had gone to town to buy, and it's too late. So what does it mean to be prepared then, dear friends? Because the goal today is to get us prepared for heaven. What does that mean? Go with me to John chapter 8. Let's run these references, if you will. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Notice what my best friend Jesus says over here in this passage. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Very imperative. He said unto them, You will die in your sins. Watch this. For if you believe not that I am He, that I am the Christ, then you shall die in your sins. It is imperative then that I must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If I don't believe, then I will die with my sins in me, or with me. And with sin I am separated from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Notice here, if you will, that should say Luke 11 or Luke 13. Sometimes I don't type well. Luke 13 and verse number 3. Notice what Jesus Christ says here. Luke 13 and 3, Jesus Christ says again, I tell you nay, Luke 13, 3, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. What is repentance? It's a change in thought that results in a change in action. It starts in my mind and it works to the rest of my body. But jump down to verse 5. Notice what Jesus says, same passage. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Think back to growing up in school when the teacher would say something once. It was important. If the teacher says it twice, back to back, you knew that's going to be on the test. You knew that I needed to know this information. Twice in three verses, Jesus said, you better repent or you'll perish. Go with me to Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. After we've believed and we've repented, we must make a confession of Christ. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. He says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But conversely, whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. So in order to be prepared for heaven, I've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I've got to repent. I've got to turn away from my sins and turn to God. Then I must be willing to confess before a group such as this. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, if you confess me, I'll confess you. Oh, how wonderful to think about on the day of judgment when we're getting there. They're going down the row and they get to, maybe it's alphabetical by last names. They get to read, comma, Justin D, that's me. And Jesus says, I know him. I know him because he confessed me. But how sad will it be for many others, and they get to whatever name, so I don't pick on somebody's here. Whatever name, I don't know who he is. I don't know because he didn't confess me. I've got to be willing to confess. Then finally, go with me to Mark 16, 15 and 16. Right there at the end of Mark's gospel account, if you will. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world, literally as you are going, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be damned or condemned. And's a conjunction. Free grammar lesson. My mother's an English teacher. And joins two thoughts, puts both of them on an equal playing field. He that believes, already hit that, and is baptized will be saved. Don't believe, are not baptized, you will not be saved. We've got to prepare. And that means we're also providing extra oil as we wait. That means living the life of a Christian. That means attending services. That means striving to live a Christ-like life and being truly committed to serving the Lord. We see there's participation. Those who are ready, they come in to the wedding feast. Go back to our lesson text, Matthew 25, if you will. Our third P, there's a preclusion. Matthew 25, 11 and 12. See, these virgins, they've gone out to Dollar General to buy their oil. And as they're out, the bridegroom comes and the door's shut. And then they show back up, right? Because they're thinking they've still got time. Afterward came also the other virgins and they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. They're crying out, Lord, Lord. In my mind, they're banging, they're beating, they're trying to get the attention of anyone inside to let them in. There are several sad things. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 for just a moment. They came and they cried out and they said, Lord, Lord, I can just hear the fear and the trembling and how upset they are in their voice. But notice what Jesus says in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 21. towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many were saying to me that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out many devils? Have we not done many wonderful works?" And he'll say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." See, these five foolish virgins, they're standing on the other side of the door, and they're crying out, "Lord, Lord, we were trying. Lord, we did this, and Lord, we did that." But the door shut. He says, I don't know who you are. They said, not only did they cry out, "Lord, Lord," but they said what? "Open the door." They requested that. Who in the world gave them the authority to have the door opened? It's not their wedding. Here's the cool thing. When you get married, you can do it however you want to. I know. We had ours at 10 o'clock in the morning. There was no bridal party. It was me, my wife, and her grandfather who performed the ceremony. We were on the road to Gatlinburg at like 11:45 because that's what we wanted to do. We didn't care. Duh-huh. It's our wedding. We did what we want to. We could have shut you out if we wanted to. We didn't. But it's your wedding. You can dictate, right? It's the bridegroom's wedding. And yet they're over here at the door. "Let us in. Let us in." Not his. It's not their call. See, they're part of the original parade. They were part of the original party. They were waiting there. Only those involved could be such. These foolish girls, they were part of the kingdom. They were wanting to go in with the bridegroom. But they're shut out of the wedding feast, also known as heaven. Why? Well, they're unprepared. See, notice his reply is what? "Verily, I know you not." Go back to Matthew 10, 32, 33. "If you confess me before men, I'll confess you. If you deny me, I'll deny you." I say, I don't know who you are. They're over here beating on the door. "Lord, it's me. Let me in. Let me in." I don't know who you are. Physically, he couldn't see them, of course, but spiritually, they weren't prepared. Notice this. The saddest thing, honestly, the whole story, is it was unnecessary. Right? Had they all had enough oil, this would have been a very short, probably 3-verse story. The bridegroom's coming. All 10 are prepared. They go in and the story's great. But they weren't all prepared. But it was so unnecessary. Run these references with me, if you will. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, we find the Apostle Paul. He's at a place called Mars Hill. And as he's walking around, he sees all these idols, and it's to this deity and to that idol and to that lowercase g god. They have one that says to the unknown god. They're trying to worship God in heaven, but it's not really him because they're not doing what he said. So he preaches a sermon, and notice his conclusion here. Verse 30, "At the time of this ignorance God winked at," he says, "in time past God may have overlooked something, but now commandeth everyone, all men, to repent. For he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world." He's going to judge the world. That means today is the day of salvation. That means today I have to repent of my sins. God may have overlooked things in the past. May God have not reckoned it immediately on the books. But today I've got to repent. Now I must do it. Go with me to Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. Timothy, Titus, then Philemon. Go to Titus chapter 2, if you will. Because notice this, not only is God's word available for all, commands all men, but God's grace is for all. Notice Titus 2:11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." That means that everyone that is in physically our auditorium this morning, and all those listening by way of radio, and those who aren't here, and those on the other part of the world where it's already tomorrow, God's grace has appeared to them. God's word is available to them. That means we all must do it. Dear friends, I want you to notice this before we move on. Being unprepared is inexcusable. You can't say, "Well, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know." You had the lamp, right? So why wouldn't you think you need oil in that lamp? There's a preclusion. And then finally, back to our lesson text, if you will, for the final P of our story. There is a pronouncement. A pronouncement. Our final verse under examination, Matthew 25 and verse 13. "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Here's the whole point of the parable. What do? You watch and you be ready. Jesus has told this whole story. Why? To get people to wake up. To get people to pay attention. You better watch. He's coming back. You better be ready. You can't try to get ready the day he comes back. It'll be too late. Today. Notice this. Why? The day and the hour is unknown to humanity. You know, I've met some people, some good-hearted people, and they've put pen to paper, and they have tried to figure out. They say, I know that Christ is going to return this day. I know he's going to come because this has just happened, and that's just happened. Look, Jesus himself said, I don't even know, save the Father. And he is the Father. He said, God's the only one that knows. Jesus is there waiting, and in my mind, he's sitting at the right hand, the throne of God, and it's almost like when you go around a curve in the car too fast, and you put your hand out to save the person next to you to keep them from going forward. In my mind, Jesus is there, and God's got his hand. No, not yet. Not yet. The moment he lowers that hand, the trumpet will sound, and time shall be no more. There's a Jewish rabbi, a Jewish rabbinical phrase, I should say. They say, live any way you want. And the day before you die, get right with God. Live any way you want. The day before you die, get your life right with God. Boy, that's great in practice. It'd be really great if I knew I was going to die on September the 14th in the year 2099. Just pick one. Oh, wait, I don't. And since I don't, I need to watch and I need to be ready. What have we learned from this parable today? Preparation. 10 virgins. 5 were ready. I mean, 5 had their lamps trimmed and bright. 5 didn't. 5 were unprepared. Those that were prepared, they were allowed to participate. Those that were ready, they came in. They enjoyed the wedding, which for us would be heaven. The prepared, they participate. There's a preclusion. Those who are unprepared, sorry. I wish everybody was prepared. I wish these 5 were ready, but they weren't, so there was a pronouncement. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are, so be ready. Be alert. Be prepared. Dear friends, I hope you take this lesson to heart. I hope you've been seriously considering what we've... This is not the words of me. This is, look what Jesus is saying. If you're not prepared, he's a coming back. When? Don't know. But I know he's coming back. There's a likelihood he could come back before I finish this sentence or this sermon or this worship. He could come back not any of our lifetimes. But I tell you what, we need to be ready regardless. If you're not ready, if you're not prepared, we've gone through it. I'll mention it again. You got to believe that he's the Son of God. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to confess he is the Christ. And then upon that confession, you're baptized. You go down that watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. And dear friend, if you're not a Christian this morning, we'd encourage you to become one. We would love to immerse you into Christ today. And then you hang in there to the very end, waiting for the bridegroom to come. If you're unprepared, yet you're a Christian, you need to repent of those sins and get back on track. If you need prayers for strength, prayers for encouragement, we're here for that as well. Any spiritual you need that you may have, we'd love to assist you. If so, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.